Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is July 8, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Dogecoin volume spike 1,900% in 2 days amid viral TikTok videos. Crypto lender Nexo enters prime broker race and lists Chainlink for audits. Ride-hailing giant Didi to trial China's central bank digital currency. New enterprise Ethereum director widens tent to include exchanges and DeFi. As gold hits 9-year high, Bitcoin eyes price breakout. First mover, with trading volumes slumping, are there too many crypto exchanges? Introducing the CoinDesk 20. Hong Kong's national security law could threaten local crypto brokerages. Now let's get started. Dogecoin volumes spike 1,900% in 2 days amid viral TikTok videos. Social media has thrown Dogecoin traders a treat. Trading volumes for the Shiba Inu meme-based cryptocurrency spiked nearly 2,000% in the last 2 days, according to data from Messari, as videos on TikTok encouraged users to invest. The whimsical asset's price climbed 35% to $0.035 over the same period. Dogecoin is a joke cryptocurrency, according to one of its founders, Jackson Palmer. As such, impromptu social media-based frenzies may be a fitting use case. Daily volume for the cryptocurrency stayed well below $5 million for the past 2 months. The recent rise of Dogecoin, a meme coin, should serve as a reminder to everyone in the space that the most popular use case for crypto is still purely speculation, said Anil Lula, former analyst at Bloomberg and co-founder of cryptocurrency research firm Delphi Digital. Global search interest in how to buy Dogecoin also skyrocketed from a score of 25 to 100, the highest possible search popularity score, over the past few days, according to 12-month Google Trends data analyzed by CoinDesk. Some of the videos on TikTok, a newly popular social media platform, garnered more than 100,000 likes, while all videos with the Dogecoin hashtag amassed several million. For speculators and meme aficionados, Dogecoin offers a different value proposition than other cryptocurrencies, according to Chao Wang, an independent cryptocurrency trader formerly at Tower Research. The value of most top cryptocurrencies comes from monetary premium, said Wang. Dogecoin's value comes from memetic premium. Crypto lender Nexo enters prime broker race and lists Chainlink for audits. Crypto lender Nexo is preparing to enter the prime brokerage space with Chainlink-powered audits that bring more transparency to its operations. The Swiss lender announced an integration with the Oracle provider on Wednesday. Chainlink will provide audit trails for Nexo's lending and borrowing operations, revealing how the firm handles user collateral, Nexo CEO Atony Trenchev said in an interview. In cases where interest paid on a loan is in a separate currency than what the loan is denominated in, Chainlink will provide an exchange rate for calculating interest payments. The Chainlink Oracle protocol operates as a decentralized and transparent arbiter of asset prices, eliminating the possibility of a central point of failure. Prime Broker plans. Nexo hopes this increased security will aid the company's expansion into the prime brokerage business. The lender revealed in the same announcement that it plans to build out a complete prime brokerage product suite. Earlier this year, Coinbase, Genesis Trading and BitGo all announced plans to become prime brokers. The news of Nexo's brokerage plans comes following the company's announcement in June that, like its competitors in the lending market, it was offering interest on crypto deposits. Nexo now offers 5% on Bitcoin, BTC, Bitcoin Cash, BCH, Ether, ETH, XRP, EOS, Stellar, XLM, and Litecoin, LTC, half of the 10% that Nexo users earn on fiat currencies and stablecoins like USDT, DAI and PAX. The interest for the product gets deposited into customer accounts daily at 12 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time. Trenchev said before launching interest in crypto, he waited until Nexo had found proprietary, market-neutral strategies for profiting from loan arbitrage, basis trading and other strategies. Ride-hailing giant Didi to trial China's central bank digital currency. Didi, the Chinese equivalent of Uber, is forming a task force to design and implement a trial of China's central bank digital currency, CBDC, on its transportation platform. A spokesperson of the Chinese ride-hailing mobile service told CoinDesk in an email response that it has entered into a strategic partnership with the Digital Currency Research Institute of the People's Bank of China, PBOC, in an effort to accelerate the application of the CBDC, known as Digital Currency Electronic Payment, or DCEP. Under PBOC's overall DCEP strategy and operation timeline, DIDA's DCEP task force will design and implement pilot DCEP projects in accordance with rigorous safety, security and governance standards, the firm said. The partnership is a key milestone in DIDA's ongoing initiatives to enhance the interconnectivity of online and offline economic sectors in China, as the government seeks to support the development of the real economy sectors with innovative financial services, the firm added. Didi is currently the dominant ride-hailing mobile service in China, after merging with a notable local rival in 2015 and acquiring Uber China, backed by investments from SoftBank, Apple, Alibaba and Tencent since its establishment in 2012. While the details of the rollout are not yet clear, the pilot plan could see one of the first real applications of China's digital yuan initiative as Didi touts a reach of over 500 million users in China, offering taxi hailing, private car hailing, automobile solutions, two-wheelers, logistics and delivery. In May, Didi completed a $500 million fundraise for its autonomous driving subsidiary. The firm was most recently valued at over $60 billion, although the U.S. media outlet The Information said in a report in last October that investors had tried to exit at a valuation lower than that. In recent months, leaked UI screenshots showed that China's four largest state-owned commercial banks have been on a development and test run for a wallet application that LLB used to store, send and receive the DCEP. It was further reported that the test phase is ongoing in four cities in China with selected commercial shops such as McDonald's, Starbucks and Subway as well as government entities to participate in the trial. In one instance, as reported by a local news outlet in April, selected government agencies were set to receive and consume their transportation allowances in the form of the PBOC's DCEP. New Enterprise Ethereum Director widens tent to include exchanges and DeFi. Enterprise Ethereum Alliance (EEA), the business end of the second largest blockchain, has appointed a new executive director, Daniel C. Burnett. Burnett, who previously worked as a standards architect within Ethereum-focused consensus, wants to widen the EEA's scope beyond banks and blue chips, to include exchanges. Burnett even aims to embrace the brave new world of decentralized finance, DeFi, which has proven to be one of Ethereum's major use cases. We should be seeing the exchanges as members, we should be seeing tooling vendors as members, Burnett said in an interview. It could be something in the API that they have to use for doing trades. If you have a business and if the existence of Ethereum is important to that business, then you should be in the EEA. It's auspicious timing for Burnett's arrival, given the public Ethereum mainnet turns 5 at the end of this month, and the EEA is planning a half-day seminar where its 100-plus member organization will go into more detail about its future plans. Outgoing EEA lead Ron Resnick is leaving the group to focus on the Interwork Alliance token initiative. The EEA's new horizons were also hinted at by John Whalen, chairman of the EEA Board of Directors and head of Digital Investment Banking at Banco Santander. It's a good time to broaden the tent for all those businesses using Ethereum tech in all its various facets, whether big companies doing private permissioned or other businesses beginning to pop up doing DeFi, Whalen said in an interview. DeFi growth. With $2 billion in crypto assets now committed to DeFi, the EEA could perhaps play a role in educating the traditional financial world about possible opportunities, Whalen added. At some point, DeFi companies will cross into the realm of mainstream finance, and it may well be that regulators would like to have a single point of contact in the business community, and we could imagine the EEA growing into that kind of role as well, Whalen said. Asked what sort of standards might be applied to the Wild West world of DeFi going forward, Burnett, a director of the IEEE Industry Standards and Technology Organization, said he wouldn't want to speculate. Personally, I think it's not my place. It's not always obvious what is useful as a standard and what is not appropriate, he said. As gold hits 9-year high, Bitcoin eyes price breakout. Bitcoin is looking to leap key resistance alongside a strong rally in gold. The top cryptocurrency by market value is trading around $9,300 at press time, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. That's close to the resistance of a trendline connecting June 1 and 22 highs. A sustained move past $9,330 would indicate an end of the bearish trend from the June 1 high of $10,429. While Bitcoin has yet to restore the immediate bullish trend and is trading 50% below its record high of $20,000, gold has jumped to a 9-year high of $1,801 per ounce, as per data source TradingView. The hedge asset now sits just 6% short of the lifetime high of $1,920 reached in September 2011. The precious metal is likely drawing bids due to negative real inflation-adjusted yields offered by the U.S. bonds, as noted by popular macro analyst Holger Zschäpitz. As seen above, the real yield has declined from 0.3% to -0.73% over the past 3.5 months. During the same period, gold has rallied from $1,450 to $1,800. Essentially, gold is performing as an inflation hedge. Bitcoin also rallied from $3,867 to $10,400 in the 2 months leading up to its third reward halving on May 11. Since then, however, the rally has stalled and the cryptocurrency has failed multiple times to find a foothold above $10,000. More importantly, Bitcoin's correlation with the S&P 500 index has strengthened, denting its appeal as a safe haven asset. Tip of the iceberg. Many analysts, however, remain optimistic about Bitcoin's long-term prospects. In the BTC market, there is an increased institutional acceptance and awareness of the asset class, which should bode well for long-term price appreciation. We've seen prominent organizations and figures such as Tudor, JP Morgan, Fidelity, which are publicly involved in the market, yet this is just the tip of the iceberg, said Steven Stonberg, COO and CFO at Bittrex Global, a cryptocurrency exchange. Legendary hedge fund manager Paul Tudor Jones allocated 1-3% of his investment portfolio to Bitcoin futures in May 2020. Bitcoin volatility has been lower than that of traditional assets throughout this crisis. However, we would argue there is nothing traditional about equity markets and the traditional economy today, Stonberg added. In this new normal, Bitcoin starts to look appealing as a new asset class that is not subject to the constraints and money printing of central banks. The U.S. Federal Reserve has expanded its balance sheet by more than $3 trillion since the beginning of the coronavirus crisis in early March. However, the unprecedented money printing and the resulting concerns over inflation have mainly benefited gold. It remains to be seen if Bitcoin takes up its expected role as an inflation hedge in the long run. As for the next 24 hours or so, the focus is on the trendline resistance around $9,330. A strong move above that level would open the doors for $10,000. Alternatively, a move below the weekend low of $8,900 may invite stronger chart-driven selling. First mover, with trading volumes slumping, are there too many crypto exchanges? Bitcoin's notorious volatility has practically disappeared during the most recent phase of the coronavirus-induced economic crisis, and that's now taking a toll on trading volumes at cryptocurrency exchanges around the world. For more than 2 months, Bitcoin has stayed in a range between roughly $8,500 and $10,200, an astonishing stretch of stability for an asset whose price rose 13-fold in 2017, tumbled 73% in 2018, and then jumped 94% last year. It's up 29% so far in 2020, after wild gyrations earlier in the year that have mostly faded since late April. The largest cryptocurrency changed hands Tuesday at $9,257, down 1% on the day. Yuan. According to CoinDesk research, Bitcoin's 30-day historical volatility has fallen to its lowest in more than a year. The preternatural calm in the Bitcoin market has sapped the enthusiasm of cryptocurrency traders long accustomed to bigger daily price swings and adrenaline rushes. Based on a new report, many traders are moving toward the sidelines. The London-based data provider CryptoCompare wrote this week that trading volumes on top-tier cryptocurrency exchanges like Binance, OKEX, and Coinbase fell by 36% in June to $177 billion. On lower-tier exchanges, volumes tumbled by 53% to $466 billion. Trading in cryptocurrency futures has also withered on venues like Chicago-based CME, according to the report. The decline in Bitcoin futures trading volume is mainly due to the continued decline in Bitcoin volatility, OKEX CEO Jay Hou wrote Tuesday in a post on LinkedIn. The price action is so uncharacteristically drowsy for Bitcoin that the market is surely due for an awakening, the Norwegian cryptocurrency analysis firm Arcane Research wrote Tuesday in a report. While the direction for Bitcoin's next move is unclear, a large move is surely approaching, Arcane wrote. In the meantime, the decline in trading volumes could rekindle questions over how many cryptocurrency exchanges are really needed to serve the nascent but fast-growing market. The data site CoinGecko lists 391 cryptocurrency exchanges for spot trading and 33 for derivatives. The multitude offers a marked contrast with the scenario in traditional financial markets, where trading volumes tend to aggregate on a few large exchanges. Think New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ and Tokyo Stock Exchange for stocks, or the CME and Intercontinental Exchange for commodity futures. Part of the explanation lies in just how fast and easy it is to build an exchange with digital asset market technology, focused on blockchain-enabled tokens. Setting aside the burden of meeting regulatory or compliance requirements, white label offerings mean it can be almost like setting up a website, with added complexities like secure custody. Chainup, a Singapore-based provider of technology services to the blockchain industry, says on its website that it has helped more than 300 crypto exchange clients. Start an exchange in 10 minutes, the site reads. Don Guo, CEO of Broctagon Fintech Group, which helps smaller cryptocurrency exchanges tap into bigger pools of liquidity available from large exchanges, says the business model is more akin to that of local or regional stock brokerage firms that can survive with a smaller clientele. It's not like traditional finance, Guo said in an interview via Microsoft Teams. People want to start exchanges. They want to launch their own netcoins or their own tokens, or they have their own communities. Eventually, there will definitely be consolidation in the industry because it's already a crowded space, says Steven Stonberg, a former Goldman Sachs and Brevan Howard executive who now serves as chief operating officer of Liechtenstein-based Bittrex Global. The market is so inefficient, which is why there are so many players, Stonberg said in an interview. I don't think you'll need state and local crypto exchanges. There's no need for that level of fragmentation. For now, cryptocurrency traders and exchanges alike might welcome an industry shakeup in the form of a fresh bout of Bitcoin price volatility. Trend, the path of least resistance for Bitcoin is on the higher side, according to daily chart indicators. The MACD histogram, an indicator used to identify trend strength and direction, has crossed above zero for the first time since early June, signaling a bullish reversal. The indicator suggests that the bearish trend following the June high of $10,430 has ended. A similar message is being delivered by the 14-day relative strength index, which has made an upside break of a 2-month falling trendline. In addition, volatility, as represented by the average true range (ATR) indicator, has declined to the lowest level since December 2019. In the past, BTC has witnessed upside breaks whenever ATR dropped to lows seen at press time, as noted by Adrian Zadunsik, CEO of trading community the BIRB Nest. As such, one may expect Bitcoin to soon slice through the immediate resistance at $9,373 50-day moving average and challenge the psychological hurdle of $10,000. Bitcoin is currently trading near $9,300, representing a 0.50% gain on the day. The cryptocurrency jumped 3% on Monday, confirming an upside break of a 10-day trading range of $8,830 to $9,300. Since then, however, the upside has been capped by the 50-day MA. The 50-day MA must be broken and reclaimed as support for bulls to continue and add to the local uptrend momentum, said Zadunsik. On the downside, the weekly opening price of $9,077 is the level to beat for the sellers. A violation there would validate the bearish crossover of the 5- and 10-week averages and could yield a quick drop to $8,630 May 25 low. Introducing the CoinDesk 20. Which cryptocurrencies matter most to the market? That question gets tougher to answer every day as new digital assets join the thousands already traded. Those looking to figure out which ones are the most important have often used simple metrics such as market capitalization to sort through the Lego pile of coins and tokens. Such simplistic filtering tells only part of the story and is fraught with the potential for manipulation. Read Anna Badakova's recent article for a salient illustration. That's why CoinDesk has launched the CoinDesk 20. This group of 20 digital assets makes up most of what people mean when they say the cryptocurrency market. But volume is not the sole criterion for inclusion. While these 20 cryptocurrencies, tokens and stablecoins together are worth more than 90% of the entirety of the crypto market, the list is not derived simply from valuations. Rather, it involves a smarter way to find the assets most relevant to the market. A more sophisticated methodology. It starts with the exchanges. But not every exchange, far from it. On the wild frontier of crypto trading, hundreds of exchanges pop up all the time. Few are trustworthy and reliable. Only a sliver has done what they can to remove manipulation. CoinDesk's research team analyzed several studies on the veracity of trading volumes on cryptocurrency exchanges. The team settled on reports from three different outfits. Bitwise, the Block and Digital Asset Research is the ones deemed to have the soundest research. Of the dozens of venues the reports analyzed, only 8 exchanges appeared on all three. Those 8 are Bitfinex, Bitflyer, Bitstamp, Coinbase, Gemini, Itbit, Kraken and Poloniex. Notably absent from the list are Huobi, OKEx and Binance, the last perhaps the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world. That's because each of them is absent from at least one of the above lists. To be sure, each of those exchanges offers traders price discovery on some key markets. However, in some of the reports, the researchers found sufficient cases of questionable volume on those exchanges to raise some doubt about their reliability. Their exclusion from the CoinDesk the 20th of May be revisited in the future. From the group of 8 exchanges, CoinDesk added up the volume on every asset traded by quarter, using data provided by Nomix. Any cryptocurrency or digital asset that doesn't trade on at least 2 of the 8 exchanges didn't qualify for the CoinDesk 20 because having an asset trade on more than one exchange enables arbitrage opportunities should prices move too far out of whack from one venue to another. That ensures the price and volume data reflect the true market. We then rank the cryptocurrencies by volume over the last 2 consecutive quarters. Performing the ranking over 2 quarters filters out any asset that would have, say, 1 active month but otherwise show no sustained trading volume. Using the same model, CoinDesk will rerun this analysis every quarter and update the list accordingly. It should be noted Bitwise no longer includes Bitfinex's prices in how it calculates its index values, a separate operation from its real volume calculations. It's the latter that matters in the methodology for selecting the CoinDesk 20. Bitwise continues to include Bitfinex in the exchanges contributing to that measure of volume, the data for which continues to be updated and published. Bitwise removed Bitfinex from its index pricing sources in 2019 after the New York Attorney General filed a lawsuit against the exchange. It did so due to concerns about prices deviating in the future should anything happen in the legal case. However, in an email Wednesday, Bitwise's head of research told CoinDesk, "We still very much believe that Bitfinex has real volume." The Bitwise Real Volume Report of March 2019 also notes that Bitfinex used market surveillance tools to help detect market manipulations, such as spoofing and wash trading through the real-time and historical analysis of trades, order books and other market information. This set it apart from some other exchanges Bitwise surveyed, including Binance. So did the fact that Bitfinex registered as a money services business with the U.S. Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN. As it turns out, the 20 assets making up the first quarterly construction of this filtered list comprise 99% of all the trading volume on the 8 exchanges. What's more, as of June 17, the current CoinDesk 20 represented $239.38 billion in market cap, according to data compiled by Messari. The remaining 5,145 cryptocurrencies were worth $25.85 billion. That makes the CoinDesk 20 representative of 90.3% of the entire cryptosphere's market cap. By the same token, the CoinDesk 20 is not a ranking of the relative worth or importance of each crypto or blockchain project. It is not a judgment on the quality of the technology or the caliber of the team developing it. No doubt some readers will have strong opinions on why this or that asset should be in the CoinDesk 20 and why others shouldn't be. No doubt, over time some newcomers will join this list and existing assets will drop off it. For now, though, these are the results of a clear, objective approach using reliable data. Likewise, compiling the best data in crypto often requires trade-offs. Such is the case when viewing Tether, USDT, on the CoinDesk 20 asset page. As we go live, the market cap shown for the stablecoin is roughly $6 billion. Yet, this is only the value of the token as found on the Ethereum blockchain. In fact, Tether also operates on the Omni, Tron, EOS, Liquid, Algorand, and SLP networks. Those are valued at an additional $4.9 billion, and CoinDesk is working on a way to incorporate accurate and timely figures for these other blockchains into the total number. More data. CoinDesk is doing more than just making a list of assets, however. In addition, investors, traders and researchers are provided with a deep dive into the data they need to make educated decisions about these 20 digital assets. Each individual asset page contains information about the type of currency, its returns, volume, volatility, transactions, fees, value proposition and consensus mechanism, to name just a few of the data points. This will give anyone researching the asset a clearer sense of how it relates to others and to other asset classes. The CoinDesk 20 is a new tool for analyzing a new space. We look forward to evolving it carefully and gradually as the field of digital assets progresses. We'll certainly tweak the data we ingest and alter how we present it on our asset pages. We may even revisit the methodology based on new perspectives and reader feedback. We invite you to share yours. If you have thoughts on the CoinDesk 20, please share them at research@coindesk.com. In an asset class that is often fraught with uncertainty, the CoinDesk 20 is meant to serve as an indispensable tool for the crypto investor. It's a simple list of 20 assets, but behind that list is a sophisticated lens, one that reveals the true centers of gravity within the cryptocurrency market. Hong Kong's national security law could threaten local crypto brokerages. U.S. sanctions in response to Hong Kong's national security law and Beijing's tighter grip over the city's financial system could pose challenges for local crypto brokerage firms. The U.S. Senate passed the Hong Kong Autonomy Act on Thursday to penalize China for eroding Hong Kong's autonomy. The bill is in response to a new national security law that broadly criminalizes acts of sedition, collusion, terrorism and subversion, which could include publicly criticizing the Chinese Communist Party. The law is already sending a chill over free expression in Hong Kong. The bill stipulates that the U.S. government should restrict foreign banks and subsidiaries of U.S. banks in Hong Kong from accessing the U.S. dollar system if they conduct significant transactions with persons or entities that contribute to weakening Hong Kong's autonomy. No specific banks have been targeted, and the bill does not provide the criteria that determine whether a bank deserves a sanction. The U.S. Treasury Secretary will decide on what behavior would result in a sanction on a bank, according to the bill. This could take a toll on cryptocurrency companies in Hong Kong. In particular, it could affect crypto brokerages, which are highly dependent on the U.S. dollar system to settle and clear transactions. Hong Kong is an important crypto hub, especially in Asia. Major mainland China originated crypto exchanges such as OKCoin and Huobi have offices, and offer crypto trading services, in Hong Kong, given its relatively crypto-friendly regulations. The most successful cryptocurrency companies here are dependent on their access to the U.S. dollar system, said Leo Wees, the president and co-founder of the Bitcoin Association of Hong Kong, a non-profit organization. They move money around, they are big brokers, and if they somewhat lose that access, they are in trouble. That access is important to large crypto brokerage companies because fiat currencies transactions between investors and brokerage are settled and cleared by banks in U.S. dollars, Wees said. Even though you are in Asia, you still rely a lot on U.S. banking, said Charles Young, head trader at Genesis Block, one of the largest over-the-counter OTC desks that primarily offers cross-border crypto brokerage services in Hong Kong. OTC desks are different from cryptocurrency exchanges, through which trades are based on a market price. With OTC desks, brokers help traders find counterparties. For most Asia-based brokerage companies, OTC desks, if they cannot easily transfer money to U.S. counterparties, then it slows down flows and trading volume will be much lower, Yang said. If there is any further friction from the U.S. policy, it could be very damaging to our business, Yang said. Increasing frictions, limiting banks. Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission (SFC) started to accept licensing applications from virtual asset trading platforms last November in a bid to offer a clearer regulatory framework for digital asset trading services providers. Major international investors have also set their sights on Hong Kong-based crypto firms. OSL, one of the largest crypto exchanges that provide trading brokerage and custodian services in Hong Kong, secured a $14 million investment from Fidelity International via an equity shares acquisition. Amber Group, a Hong Kong-based startup that offers a range of financial services such as trading and lending for crypto investors, secured $28 million in a Series A funding round from U.S.-based investors such as Coinbase Ventures and Polychain Capital. While it is still unclear what exact sanctions the U.S. government will impose on Hong Kong, there are two scenarios that could hurt brokerage companies, Yang said. Crypto-friendly U.S. banks, such as Silvergate and Signature, provide 24/7 instant crypto settlement services. The U.S. government could limit what amounts and where these banks can send money, which would increase friction for money transfers back to Hong Kong, Yang said. Crypto brokerage companies could also face difficulties in wiring money from Hong Kong to the U.S., Yang said. For example, many such companies use the Bank of Communications, which is one of the largest state-owned commercial banks in mainland China. If that bank is sanctioned by the U.S. government, the companies won't be able to wire their money to their U.S. bank accounts, Yang said. Another concern is that more scrutiny would prolong transaction times, according to Yang. The banks would flag Hong Kong-related transactions more often, they would hold the transactions and do a compliance query, and that could take a few days to resolve, which means there will be a lot of friction, Yang said. If the money transfers between Hong Kong, London and the U.S. are being blocked, or being made more expensive, then the Hong Kong brokers won't have as much of the need to really be here because Hong Kong won't be able to serve the local market as efficiently, Wees said. The bill vaguely refers to officials and foreign persons who materially contribute to the contraventions of China's obligation. After the president signs the bill, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will have 90 days to identify Chinese officials and foreign persons who are involved in anti-democracy activities, such as cracking down on protests, and report them to Congress. The Secretary of the Treasury will then have 60 days to submit a list of foreign institutions that conduct significant transactions with these persons, according to the bill. If the bill goes into effect, money transfers between banks in Hong Kong will face more surveillance and the risks of being frozen due to the new sanctions, said Jason Wu, the CEO of Definer, a crypto lending firm with a focus on cross-border transactions between the US and China. While some crypto investors can use cash or face-to-face trading to trade crypto with fiat currencies, many have to register with brokerage firms in compliance with anti-money laundering AML and Know Your Customer KYC regulations by Hong Kong's financial authorities, especially the block trades in millions of dollars, Wu said. Any money transfer in large amounts in a bank in Hong Kong will raise a flag for both the Chinese and U.S. financial regulators, Wu said. Cross-border money transfers between the U.S. and Hong Kong already faced stricter scrutiny even before the bill, according to Wu. People in Hong Kong have been trying to transfer their money to overseas bank accounts since the unrest started in March 2019. Both the Chinese and U.S. governments are closely watching these financial transactions, Wu said. The future of Hong Kong's financial system. The bill is not the only U.S. attempt to dismantle Hong Kong's financial and economic privileges as Beijing weakens the city's autonomy. The U.S. government has issued restrictions on visas for Chinese officials and threatened to revoke Hong Kong's special trade status. I think for now there is no intention to mess with Hong Kong's financial system and scare companies away, but of course things could quickly change, Wu said of China's national security law. Neither the Chinese nor the U.S. government has disclosed what exact measures they will take to influence Hong Kong's financial system, Wu said. One extreme case is that Hong Kong becomes like any other city in mainland China and wire transfers would be much more difficult. If you make wire transfers in mainland China, there will be many limitations such as going through more scrutiny with financial authorities such as the State Administration of Foreign Exchange, SAFE, which makes it difficult to make the transfers, Wu said. However, it is much easier in Hong Kong because it is in the international settlement system. One extreme case is that Hong Kong becomes just like any other city in mainland China in terms of financial freedom, Wu said. In mainland China, where banks are restricted from processing money transactions related to crypto, most investors trade and make purchases via peer-to-peer trading services provided by over-the-counter desks with third-party payment cash apps. Usually what happens in such situations is that the market continues to exist with much higher spreads but served by different individuals or smaller brokerages. At least that's how we've observed it in other places, Wei said. The very largest brokerages only exist in places where they can efficiently buy and sell $1 million or $10 million worth of Bitcoin, Wei said. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.